Proceed to case number eight, please. Constance Morris versus the Vandenberg County Health Department. Sort of went through it like a tin horn. Are you set?
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is John Goodrich. I'm with the Law Office of Miller & Associates in Oslo, Indiana, and we represent the appellant herein, Constance Morris. This is a lawsuit which was pending in front of the United States District Court for the Southern District of Indiana, wherein the plaintiff, Constance Morris, was and is alleging a violation of Title VII in that her employer, the Vandenberg County Health Department, discriminated against her on the basis of her race and failing to promote her to the position of supervisor of vital records. The action started with filing the complaint June 30th, 2000. On August 31st of 2001, a summary judgment motion was filed. The plaintiff filed her response in December of 2001, and this matter was finally decided by the court March 12, 2002. Now, in the court's decision, which we are appealing here today, the court made or entered the following reasoning. There was a memorandum which came into existence after the fact of the promotion being awarded to Susan Teer. Susan Teer is not a member of protected class and yet was promoted in lieu of Constance Morris. That memorandum, the plaintiffs have asserted and assert again on appeal, was an ex post facto attempt to create a paper trail justifying the decision of the Vandenberg County Health Department to promote Teer over Morris. The court, in its reasoning, said even though that memorandum came about after the fact of the decision was made and may have been spurious in nature, that's not dispositive because the decision maker, Dr. John Heidingsfelder, also testified, I believe, in affidavit format that he relied upon his review of the personnel files and meeting with various members in the department. I think the case is a whole lot simpler than that. This case, I believe, is controlled by two cases which have come out of the Seventh Circuit. The first is Perdomo versus Browner, and the second is Hughes versus Derwinski. I'll address the issue of lies first because I think that is the most important issue before the court. The issue of lies in the context of pretext. Pretext means a lie. It means something dishonest, something, some sort of deceit was committed by the defendants in their proffered reason or by the fact of their proffered reason for not promoting the plaintiff, Constance Morris. Here, there are two lies, two very essential lies. The first lie is a mask of discrimination, and that is the memorandum, which was generated after the fact of the Vandenberg County Health Department promoting Teer over Morris. And the second lie is Dr. John Heidingsfelder testifying that he relied upon his review of this memorandum, which was in the personnel file, allegedly in Constance Morris's personnel file, in making his decision not to promote Morris over Teer. With regard to Dr. John Heidingsfelder lying,
tell us, didn't they find, or haven't there been allegations that she had too much unfinished work? Secondly, that she mistakenly changed or deliberately falsified the several birth record and death certificates without obtaining proper documentation?
Absolutely, there are allegations, and
that she filled out an unacceptable amount of certificates inaccurately?
Those allegations have been made. They've been made in affidavit format, and they were also addressed by Dr.
Aren't they all in the personnel file?
And they're all in her file, aren't they?
Well, the allegations of...
Well, the statements of what occurred are in the personnel file, which was reviewed by the decision maker.
The falsifications, the allegation of falsifications and this itemization of the faults that she had occurred was contained in summary fashion in a memorandum drafted by Sharon King.
I understand that was also contained in the file, isn't it, in her personnel file?
Memorandum was put in the personnel file after the fact of the decision.
Prior to that, doesn't the personnel file that she has indicate the things that are also in that summary proceeding that you're discussing?
Now, if you go to Exhibit E...
Try me one more time. Okay. In the personnel file, are there not documentations of precisely what's contained in the memorandum that you're complaining about?
Yes and no.
Wow. How about a yes or no?
No.
They're not in there? If I look, I won't find them in the file?
You will find no evidence of a falsification.
I'm not talking about that, but will I file notations of those allegations contained in the matter you're complaining about?
The underlying facts, yes, right, are documented in the course of the...
You'd be well advised to give both sides of an argument and then explain away the bad, if you can.
Okay. The fact of the matter is this. The memorandum after the fact, which was generated, recharacterized prior mistakes. Now, Exhibits A and B to the plaintiff's memorandum opposing summary judgment are the job descriptions for the supervisor of vital records as well as the deputy registrar. Now, most of these job descriptions are identical. However, more importantly, both of these exhibit lists that mistakes will be made. This is a repetitive job, it's dealing with records, and mistakes are acceptable to the Vandenberg County Health Department, even though they may cause time to the local department as well as the state itself. The types of mistakes that Constance Morris made over time were exactly of that nature. However,
mistakes may be understandable to keep them getting fired, but it's not really a splendid recommendation to get promoted, is it?
Well, in contrast...
Well, just as a general thing, wouldn't you say that if you make enough mistakes, even if you're not getting fired, they're not going to rush forward and promote you, figure to get you out of it, where you make mistakes where you can make bigger mistakes?
Well, these mistakes were ordinary and in the normal course of business.
No question about it, but they're not much of a recommendation. You know, we have a statement we give to juries in criminal cases that a mere indictment is no proof of guilt. But it's really not a certificate of good behavior either. It doesn't count for you.
That would be correct. I agree with that.
Thank you.
Sorry. The issue there is there was both good and bad in Connie Morris's personnel file. The mistakes which are detailed in this memorandum and which were itemized by the defendants in defending our action occurred far in time prior. I mean, we're talking about mistakes that occurred back
Counsel,
in the early
Counsel, is there any difficulty with the appointing authorities taking all this information into consideration at the time they decide whether or not to elevate someone in their department? And isn't that what they did?
No, it is not.
Okay, thank you. Tell me the answer to the first one that you couldn't.
Dr. John Heidingsfelder testified that
Can they take him into consideration? You didn't answer that.
Okay, he looked at the file, yes. But the item he specified in the file and the criticisms of Connie Morris that he said were in the file were not in the file at the time he made the decision. They were not in the file at the time he made his decision. He specifically testified at his deposition that the criticisms, he considered her a pillar of the health department, a huge asset, very good at what she did, had been working there longer than he'd been working there, and he had every reason to believe that she was very capable in doing her job. What he was concerned about were the criticisms in his file made by his supervisor, Sharon King, which addressed her ability to perform as supervisor of vital records. There was only one document that was ever found in her personnel file that addressed that issue at all, of Connie Morris in her role as a supervisor. and that is the spurious memorandum. That is the memorandum that was created not only after the decision was made in mid-January, not only after he met with Connie Morris and Sam Elder met with Connie Morris in late January, January 31st, but after Connie Morris had filed her charge of discrimination and 5 days after the Vandenberg County Health Department received actual notice that Connie Morris had filed a charge of discrimination. The memorandum that he says he's referring to was not in that file. It was written by Sharon King 5 days after they found out Connie had contacted the EEOC. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. Jay Ziemer on behalf of all the county defendants. Ms. Wilhelmus was going to address the court for a brief period of time, but we decided to give me all of the time.
Lucky you. Go ahead.
We wanted to hear from the young lady.
Yes, well, if you wish to, she'd be more than welcome probably to get up here.
You people make your own decisions.
basically, Your Honor, and I believe from what I've heard, the panel has a very good grip on the facts of the case. What we have here is a personnel file that did contain numerous deficiencies regarding Connie Morris. And in fact, in her affidavit, which is part of the record, she admits to making most of these what she calls mistakes, what the health department characterized as falsifications of record.
I think what's most interesting here is her competition tier apparently didn't have anything at all in her file. Does that mean she had a perfect record?
She had a personnel file, but she did not have any, there were no reprimands in her file as opposed to Ms. Morris, who had several reprimands. I believe counsel for the appellant has made reference to the fact that there were no evaluations of Ms. Tier in the file. The reason for such is that Ms. Tier was hired in 1993. That is the time, or that is the date, that Ms. King, and this is all in the record, that Ms. King, the immediate supervisor, stopped performing evaluations, formal type of evaluations. So you had an employee who was there for not even an entire year, whom presumably Ms. King did not feel inclined to give an evaluation for. There does exist, however, a personnel file for Ms. Tier. However, there are no such mistakes or falsifications.
Personnel file is to record something that you did wrong? Without it, there's not a regular event.
Don't they ever put anything good in the personnel file?
Well, actually, as is in the record, Ms. Morris did have some accolades in her file.
All right, so there are good things and bad things in the file.
Yeah, there are good things and bad things. Ms. Tier's file was relatively, the applications in the file, very much benign information is in the file.
She didn't leave a paper trail, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
That's how people get to the Supreme Court, too. Go ahead.
So I would state that the reason there was nothing in her file is because she did not make these types of transgressions that Ms. Morris made, such as creating new entities, essentially, by not submitting correctional affidavits to the Indiana Department of Health, and basically creating an entity in the Vandenberg County Department of Health that does not exist through either a name change, and at one time that was even done basically by creating somebody. He came in and said his name was so-and-so, and she gave him a birth certificate. And she had no explanation when questioned by the supervisor of her supervisor, Sam Elder, regarding such.
Did they register him to vote or not?
This is Indiana.
It depends which party.
They get those off the green still.
So, Your Honors, I would state, and regarding the memorandum, the memorandum was dated on its face February 15, 1999. but all parties, including or all of the health department employees, including the person that drafted the memorandum, stated that the memorandum should have been drafted February 15, 2000. Basically, what that memorandum was...
Should have been dated or should have been drafted?
Should have been drafted, I'm sorry. Well, it was drafted around that time and therefore should have been dated at...
So they drafted it in February but dated it in February 9, 2000?
They drafted it in February 2000.
Uh-huh.
And it was mistakenly dated February 1999.
So,
but the author said I made a mistake. It was early in the year.
It's a nunk-pro-tunk. Yes.
Correct. In relation to that affidavit, I mean, it makes perfect sense what her supervisor was doing. If you just look at the first sentence of the memo, which says, it was my feeling that Connie Morris was not capable of handling the position of supervisor. I mean, this is not a spurious memo. This is a benign memo. Basically, what Sharon King did is, after receiving notice of an EEOC complaint, drafted a letter which memorialized her reasons for recommending one employee over another employee. All the information contained in that memo is contained within her personnel file. This is merely a recap of that information. So I can't see any way how it is some kind of spurious memo. It's not something that was slipped in her file and where they tried to date it and they tried to make up some kind of mistakes or alterations that she made. Basically what it was is... merely a recap. And she admitted to everything in her own affidavit, pretty much, that was in that memorandum. She just characterized it as a mistake as opposed to a falsification of record. I submit to you,
Morris,
as the district court...
trained the incoming people, is that right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Morris trained the incoming people.
She, in Susan Tears... In Morris's deposition, she stated that she trained incoming people. In Susan Tears' deposition, the person who ultimately received the promotion stated, I would say the testimony is relatively weak, stated really that Connie Morris taught her a lot. There's no information in the record concerning what Connie Morris did to train these people. It would be my submission, this is sort of on-the-job training. You have your co-employees who help you out, just like any job, pretty much, that one would have. I would submit that the fact that she knows a job or knows how to do a job that a new employee does not know how to do is really irrelevant to this case. Susan Tears served with the health department for 6 years. In Sam Elder's deposition, he stated that she had bookkeeping experience in the past prior to working with the health department, and that that was necessary because the supervisor is responsible for taking care of the cash flow that comes through that office. And so basically, whether or not Connie Morris knew her job, I don't think it's necessarily relevant, and as admitted by her, if she did know her job, she certainly did not do it well. I would just ask that you affirm the lower court's decision. There's certainly no evidence, I believe, of pretext. There's also no evidence whatsoever of the fact that Connie Morris, based upon her own admissions, was even qualified to be a supervisor. And as this court has held many times before, this court does not sit as a super personnel board or department, or so to speak, in decisions, even if they're not the brightest decisions, are not to be overturned by the district court or by this court. And so I would ask that you affirm the lower court's decision. If you have any other further questions, I'd be happy to respond to such.
Thank you, counsel. We will proceed to case number 9. Thank you both.